You know, if you've joined us online over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that there's been two particular stories that I've shared with you. One is the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, where Jesus talks about the man that was on the road and he ended up being attacked and ended up in the ditch dying, and how a priest came by, a Levite came by, and finally a Samaritan came by and offered help to that man. You know, that's a story about the world and the crowd helping one person in a ditch. And someone said to me on a comment when I posted that, they said that, you know, it feels like that we're all in the ditch. You know, because we're kind of talking about, you know, ministering to each other in that way. God wants you to be that good Samaritan. If you remember that story, at the end of it, Jesus asked the teacher, which one of the three showed mercy to the person that needed help? And the man answered correctly, the one that did something, the one that showed mercy. And that's what we're trying to be. And then secondly, I talked with you for just a few minutes one day about this story of the disciples on the boat when this tremendous storm came up, and they were looking for Jesus because they wanted him to help. And they found him asleep, it says, on a cushion in the bottom of the boat. In other words, Jesus was able to sleep during this terrible storm. You know, I wondered about that in my own life as I think about my sleep habits. Am I able to sleep well? Am I able to sleep good knowing that Jesus can calm the storm? Jesus can calm your storm. And whatever you're experiencing right now in your life, Jesus is there and he wants to help you. He wants to calm the storm in your life. All right, now with those two stories in your mind and on your heart, let me bring you to the one that I want to share with you about today. It's the story that Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about this salt and light. Matter of fact, he says this to the disciples. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And folks, I want to tell you this morning, that's exactly what God wants us to be in the world, in the time, in this moment right now. He wants us to be salt and light. Now think about this for a moment. Think about what the effect is of salt and light. What is the effect of salt and light? You know, I did a Bible study on this week, and it was really interesting because there's really three things that the Bible talks about that that salt can be used for. Back in the Old Testament, it mentions in Ezekiel how salt was used to clean a baby after it's born. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having a newborn baby and you scrub its skin with a mixture of salt and then rinse the baby off? It says that there. It says that it's used as a cleansing agent. It also talks about how salt is used for preservation. You know how it's put on meat and on things, and it can act as a preserver. It preserves the things that it is placed upon. And then in the book of Mark, and here in our text as well, it talks about how salt that loses its flavor. Think about that. It's used to cleanse, it's used to preserve, and it's used to flavor. That's what salt is. How about light? He says that you are the light of the world. You know, this particular phrase, I think, is so very foreign to us because in Jesus' day, they didn't have a switch to turn on the light. You know, they didn't have electricity going through lines and coming to our home, enabling us to light up any room in our house. You know, they didn't have those kinds of things. So when they said that you are the light of the world, you are the light that actually comes into darkness and helps people to be able to see what is going on around them. Think about that. In Jesus' day, you are the light of the world. And light was something that was very difficult for them. The Bible talks about how a lamp to light our path. The Bible also says that in the beginning that God said, "Let there be light." Before he ever made the sun or the moon, the greater light and the lesser light, he said, "Let there be light." He was the light that brought illumination into darkness. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples here, he's saying to them that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world. You are a cleansing agent. You are something that should bring preservation, that you are something that should bring flavor, that you should bring illumination, that you should be something that God can use to light the way for others. So that kind of brings me to this next question, because if you understand salt and light in the Bible, then what is the effect of your life? What is the effect of my life on the world? If we are the salt, do we bring that kind of effect to the world? If we're light, do we bring that kind of illumination to the world in which we live? You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I love French fries. Do you love French fries? I know I'm talking to a lot of people right now that love fries. I love French fries. And then one day I realized that what I really love is I love salt with French fries. French fries without salt to me is just don't eat it. You know, when you go somewhere, and I've been to places, I'm sure you have too, they bring you French fries, so you know they're not salted, you can salt them yourself. It's like, no. Salt them when they come out of that oil when you deep fry them. You know, I love going to Five Guys. Have you ever been there? And they take the fries out of the fry bucket and they dump it in this container. And right away they shake this salt on it while there's still hot grease on the fries. And man, they are absolutely wonderful. He's saying that we as people should have that kind of effect. You know, whereas I don't even like French fries without salt, we should understand that we bring that to the world. That is the effect that we should have on people and on situations that are around us. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. You know, as I think about this subject, there's several things that come to mind. But let me just share a couple of them with you. Because if we are this, then we should bring that kind of flavor to the world. You know, the Bible talks about that we are a peculiar people. I think the Bible indicates that when we are in the presence of the world should be able to know right away that we're a believer, that we're different. They see something about us. They hear how we talk. They see how we treat other people. They see how we love other people, how we care for each other. And you know what, folks? In this time that we're in right now, it is so easy to just think about how difficult it is for me or for you individually and not think about this mandate, this commandment that Jesus has given us to be salt and light to the world. You see, I think that what he does, he causes us to enhance the people and the places that are around us. You know, look at it this way, and I've actually experienced this recently. You know, you can cook a chicken breast on the grill, and you can heat up a baked potato in the microwave, and you can put it on your plate or you can enjoy it. Or like we've had recently, my daughter, Kristen, made chicken for us the other night, and the chicken had some kind of cheese on top of it, some kind of seasoning on top of it. The vegetables that she made had all kinds of things in them, and it was just, you know, something plain, or something much more enhanced. I don't know about you, but I always like the enhancements in food. You know, for example, I think what can make fries edible when they're not salted is if you sprinkle ketchup all over them and then salt it so the ketchup will stick to the so the salt will stick to the ketchup and you can taste it. See, folks, God is calling us to be this kind of enhancement in the life that we're living in. And if we're not bringing that, if we're not bringing the salt, if we're not being the light, then really what are we doing? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And he even gives a commentary, if you read the in-between passages there and the passage after that, he says, what good is salt when it loses its flavor? Just thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. Or who of you, where can you see a city on a hill that can be hidden? Or do you light a lamp and put it under a bushel? You see, here's the thing. When salt and light are present, it cannot be ignored. Where salt and light are present, it cannot be ignored. Because when salt is there, you know it's there. You taste it. You see it. You experience it. When there's light there, you know it's there. See, here's the thing. Darkness is simply just the absence of light. Think about that. Think about how sometimes we describe things in the world or we describe the world as being dark. Just our presence should bring light into the world. Just the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ working in us and through us and speaking in us and through us. It should be that people see that light, that they experience that flavor that our lives bring. So here's the thing, folks. I want you to evaluate your own life. What is the effect of your life? Because he says here, notice, he says you are salt and light. He doesn't say you have the potential to be salt and light, that you can be salt and light. He doesn't say that you will be salt and light if you do this. He says you are salt and light. You are either salt that flavors or you're salt that's useless. You are the light of the world. And you are either illuminating dark places in this world or you are not the light that God wants you to be. You know, Christine Kane, I heard her tell a story one time, and it's always stuck with me. She said that she was at Walmart with her little daughter, and the little daughter wanted to buy a flashlight. So she said she went, and she looked at these flashlights, and they had this pack of flashlights. It was two for the price of one. So she bought these flashlights, and she bought some D batteries to put in the flashlight, and they went up in the front, and they checked out, they paid for the two flashlights, and they went out to the car, and Christine Kane said her little daughter looked at her and said, Mommy, let's go find some darkness, because she wanted to shine her light. Folks, you and I, we're having the opportunity to be a great light in a time of darkness. We have the opportunity to be salt, to be used of God to both flavor and preserve life as we see it, life as we know it. Will we take advantage of that opportunity? You know, I don't know how many of you remember watching the Sesame Street when you were young. I remember Sesame Street mostly from my children. But one of the things that I remember about Sesame Street is how they always did this bit of which of these things are not like the other. You remember that little song? Which of these things are not like the other? And they would go through this song, and then can you pick out the thing that is different before this song ends? You know, I remember one particular episode of that, and the Cookie Monster is looking, and of course he's looking at different plates of cookies, and to him all he sees is a bunch of cookies. But which one of these is different? And it worked out really well for him because he was going to be able to eat, and he did eat the one that was different, the one that had more cookies. Here's the point of this, folks. That might be a little silly, but here's the thing. Does the world see that you are different? Does the world notice that you are that different thing in the group? That you are salt, that you are light, that you are caring about other people? Do they see that you are that different thing? Because if they do, praise God. And if they don't, why not? Folks, God has always used troubling times. God has always used time of persecution to bring about great revival. And it's my prayer that this difficult time that we're going through right now will bring about a great revival, that it'll call people into obedience to Christ, to His Word. And hopefully, we can be used as that different thing in the world. You know, Jesus said that if He is lifted up, that He'll draw all people unto Himself. And that's what you and I are trying to do. We're trying to be that different kind of person. So we'll take advantage of that every day as you seek Him and as you care about other people as well. You know, there's a great quote by Adlai Stevenson. And he wrote this about Eleanor Roosevelt. Maybe you've seen this before, but he said of her, he said that she would rather light candles than curse the darkness. And her glow has warmed the world. I don't know about you folks, but during this time of social distancing, of physical distancing, of staying away, not getting very close to other people, I've seen on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram and in other platforms on social media, how people have just simply been highlighting the darkness, highlighting the evil, highlighting the difficulties. And folks, you and I should be highlighting the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus. You know, folks, it's easy to curse the darkness. It's easy to curse wickedness, to curse evil, to think badly about people that look at life and think about life differently than we do. But let me tell you something, folks. If we will be the candle that God will burn in this dark world, we can not only warm the world, but we can change the world as well. God is calling you, all of us, to change our world wherever we are. You know, Arlene said something really interesting to me yesterday or the day before. And she talked about how when this is over, and you know, this is a very defining moment in our lifetime, isn't it? Everybody remembers certain times in their life. I always will remember 9/11, of course. Most of you will too. I remember my mother talking about Pearl Harbor and how that was a defining moment for her. You know, the assassination of President Kennedy in the early 60s. All of these different things that we look to. And this will be the moment that a lot of people will look to. 50 years from now, people will look back to this moment. Let me tell you something, folks. We need to take advantage of this moment. Not to just curse the darkness, but to allow God to warm and to light the darkness through each of us. Would you commit to doing that? Would you allow Christ to help you be salt and light to this world? I hope so. Because you know what? I've traveled a lot, and anytime I ever come home on Route 22 from down the mountain, you know, you get to that one place coming down the mountain when you can see the entire city of Altoona off to the left there, maybe at about 10 or 11 o'clock. And I remember how many times I've come down that mountain, and as I've seen the lights of that city, it's warmed my heart because I know I'm home. God wants us to be that kind of influence in our world and during our time. Let's be that for him. Let's be the salt. Let's be the light. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this moment in time. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to worship, to share, to sing, to pray, to partake of communion, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to break your word, to hear you say to your disciples and to us today that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And God, may it challenge us. May it challenge us to be an agent that brings cleansing, that it can be an agent, Lord, that preserves. Lord, that it would be an agent that seasons life and makes it sweeter and better. But God, may we also be that kind of life, that light that dispels darkness. That God, when we are present, when we are there, that darkness recedes simply because of our heart that is in tune with you. So, Father, may we understand that our ministry is to persevere, that our ministry is to enhance. So, God, may we not just be about cursing the darkness, but, Lord, may we be a bright light that you bring into this dark world. Bless us, Father, to that end. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you, to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing. All you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking the ground. You are breaking a new ground. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever want me to be. I came here with nothing. All you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. Cause where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
What a great song. You know, when I read the book of Psalms, all the Psalms, I'm always intrigued by how much David trusts in God when he goes through difficult times. You know, in Psalm 23, God tells David, I want to be your shepherd. In Psalm 46, he says, I want to be your fortress, and I want to be your strength. So this week, that's who we have helping us along the way. Our shepherd, he's our fortress, and he's our strength. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every person that's sharing with us, Lord, over the internet today. God, help us to see so clearly that you are our shepherd, that you'll leave the 99 and come to bring us back home. Lord, thank you that you are our fortress. You are the place that we can run to seek refuge. Thank you, Lord, that you are our strength. But even, Lord, when we can't feel like that we can even get up and go forward, that you will help us along the way. Father, thank you for those promises. And may we live out those promises this week as we are salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you soon.